In your book, Star Maker, you have 20 helpful suggestions. One of them is the Boy Scout motto, be prepared. Give us an example of how you were prepared in Chicago.
This is when Roy won the Jukebox Operators of America award.
And you were in the Grand Ballroom of Chicago's Conrad Hilton Hotel.
Right. Of course, everybody was there, every big act at that time from Perry Como. I forget who all was there, but all the big stars. And they said, we'll have a 22-piece orchestra to play Roy's Under the Double Eagle in Kansas City. Those were the two that played on the jukebox. Roy was famous on the jukebox because everybody will always play an instrumental, so they loved Roy back in the days when the jukebox still were really big in buying records. We went up there, and I thought, this is going to be really great, and then I got an arranger to do two really fine arrangements. Roy has a main spot on the show. He's doing two numbers on the show there. You've got all these jukebox operators that buy thousands upon thousands in the audience. They're going to watch you. So it comes time for him to rehearse. I say, Roy Clark, where's your conductor? Well, Roy says, conductor? Yeah, all these other acts bring their own conductors. These are Chicago's finest musicians, but they don't have a conductor. Here, you bring your own. Well, I didn't know that. I'm still learning. But I had enough musical training from my old days when I was playing myself, and I could read charts. So I said, okay, Roy, I'll do it. So I went out there, and here, the power that you weld with that baton, I almost passed out. I picked that baton up and tapped it. Those musicians snapped too. I was in charge there. So I conducted the orchestra with those two songs, and I don't think anybody knew the difference. Except Roy and me.
So when you were flailing your arms, you were doing it to the beat of the music.
And
they were actually leading you.
Well, I knew the song, and I knew what it was supposed to be. So when it was time for the saxes, I'd point to the saxes. I read the music. I knew what it was going to be.
Your client list after the Oaks and Roy Clark, do you remember? There's so many of them.
Oh, I remember all of them because they were all important to me, from Ronnie Millsap. Of course, Minnie Pearl is one that I loved, and Merle Haggard, Roy Orbison, Rick Nelson, on and on and on, everybody.
People will ask you, how do you become a star in the music business? Must the star performer be able to be a writer, too?
It helps. Even if when you record your own material, that's not the hit. But that helps in the creative process, and I found that people that create their own material always have a better interpretation of somebody else's. I have a quick story, which you probably read in the book, about when these two young ladies came into our office and they wanted to have us as their agents. My receptionist said, well, leave a demo. They said, what's a demo? They said, well, that's a representation of your music. You put it on tape or CD. I said, we don't need that. We've got our guitars. They went out and got their guitars. They were in the lobby of our office singing. They were good. And because they were a mother and a daughter, it was unique. That was the Judds. So we represented the Judds for a long time. And Reba. Reba's one of my favorite people that we represented because what a talented lady that she is. And a songwriter and an actress.
You talk about creating a hook in the song, like Oak Ridge Boys, Oom Pompa, Oom Pompa.
Well, there's not a hit song that doesn't have a hook. That is the memorable phrase, or like Tammy went, stand by your man, you know. There's got to be something there that people remember. They're not going to remember 3 minutes of music, but they are going to remember that one memorable song, word, guitar lick, piano lick, whatever it is that sets that song apart from the millions of others that are out there.
Merle Haggard had a hook.
Oh, he always had a hook.
Okie from Muskogee.
Right.
Roy Orbison.
Only the Lonely. Roy Orbison was one of the most fascinating talents that I ever worked with. He was terrific.
Crying, I mean, that tone to his voice.
He had a unique hook in his voice, but every song that he wrote, too, was unique in its structure of the melody and the word structure that he had.
Leon Russell.
Always with Leon, everything that he has a hook. He was degraded. People talk about the Tulsa sound. Well, Leon is the Tulsa sound. He's had all these years of all this great music that he's written, composed. He's just written some more songs with Elton John and Bernie Taupin and this new project that he's recorded with T-Bone Burnett.
Also, James Brown was a client of yours.
Right.
Godfather of Soul.
Right. I learned a lot from him. He was very important. He was very smart. All of these people I've dealt with are smart. They're not just a performer on stage. They have an intelligence that gets them to where they're going. When we first started working with Mr. James Brown, we did a lot of interviews and we did a lot of press conferences, and he said, "Mr. Halsey," he said, "I will always call you Mr. Halsey. When we're in front of people, I would appreciate it if you would call me Mr. James Brown, because it shows we have respect for each other." And that's true. I mean, if I'd have gone up there and said, "Well, Jim this and Jim that," and he said, "Well, Jim this and Jim that," it would have shown that maybe we didn't have the proper respect for each other. So I always refer to him as Mr. James Brown. He was a great man.
Exceptionally talented?
Oh, exceptionally talented. He knew the audience, and he knew how to reach an audience. He touched that audience. I don't care if it was 500 or 1,000 people or 200,000 people or 1.5 million, like when he flew into Africa. There were 1.5 million people on the runway as his 747 touched down.
You've worked with some great songwriters.
Well, Ronnie Dunn is one of the greats. Brooks and Dunn, Tulsa Lad, Wanda was a songwriter. Of course, Hank was the ultimate songwriter. He wrote almost everything that he did, except he just recorded so many things that we eventually did some interesting pieces. He did one whole album of Mills Brothers songs. That was a big album. I think it was called Cab Driver. Then he did one whole album of Nat Cole songs.